The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Friday to you. This is Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently in a series where we're discussing the various meanings of the words saved and salvation in the New Testament. Today, we're going to take a second look at 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to lead off in this discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus, where we are currently going through a series studying the meaning of salvation in five different New Testament books. We finished off Romans, Philippians, and we did James, and now we're in Thessalonians. We just started talking about it in the last episode, which you can listen on several different platforms. You can listen to us on this station or at our website or on Audible, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher. So we're in 1 Thessalonians. We looked at 1 Thessalonians 5:8 and 5:9, where clearly Paul is using salvation as a reference to a salvation from a future time of wrath. And we were talking about how this is the wrath of the tribulation or the time of Jacob's trouble, where God is presently showing wrath against sin. That's what the book of Romans is all about. But this wrath, God's wrath against sin in this world, is going to intensify during the time of the tribulation.
Absolutely. It's going to be the worst time of human history. And 1 Thessalonians 5:9, like 1 Thessalonians 5:8, is talking, notice the pronoun in 5:9, us. God did not appoint us to wrath. Now, if you go back to verse 3, they shall not escape the wrath. The unbelieving world has been appointed for wrath.
Right.
Whatever group of unbelievers are alive at the time when the sins of the world are filled up to the brim, at that point, the church will be taken away so that the wrath can be poured out. But God has not appointed us, believers in the church age, to wrath, that is the tribulation, but to obtain salvation. That's the rapture. And by the way, the rapture goes back to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. The catching up is harpazo in Greek. It's like harpooning.
Yeah.
But in Latin, it's rapturo. So that's where the word rapture came from the Latin Vulgate. But in any regard, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9 is talking about, that we will escape the tribulation, we will obtain salvation from the wrath through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 10, as I mentioned the last time, is a beautiful ending of this section, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, or actually the Greek word is gregoreo, whether we watch or sleep, we should live together with him. So the idea that believers must be faithful in order to get into the coming kingdom is countered by this very verse.
Right.
Whether we're watchful or whether we're morally asleep, either way, we're going to live forever with him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great statement of the security of the believer. Even if a believer is not watchful, they're still going to be forever with the Lord. And then the final verse says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's also chapter 4 and verse 18 ends with comforting one another, because they'd had believers that had died in Thessalonica and they were wondering, will they miss out on the millennium? No, they're not going to miss out anything, because the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive will be caught up. Well, now here it's saying the same thing. Comfort one another, because we've not been appointed for wrath, but we've been appointed to obtain soteria, deliverance from the wrath. And can you see how this opens up the book? All the way through, every chapter in 1 Thessalonians ends with a reference to the soon return of Christ. Chapter
right.
1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. When we move into 2 Thessalonians, which is our final verse in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, we see the same thing. But before we go there, Sean, let me give you Green's comment on 1 Thess 5:9. Gene Green, in his commentary on the Thessalonian epistle, says, quote, the present concern is with deliverance from the divine chastisement that will come upon those who rebel against God's way. The Lord is the one who will deliver believers from the coming wrath. And he says, see 1:10 and the commentary there, unquote. And then Tom Constable adds, quote, the wrath of God referred to here clearly refers to the tribulation. The context makes this apparent. Deliverance from that wrath is God's appointment for believers through the Lord Jesus Christ, unquote. I think that's outstanding. Now, there's one last one, and it's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13.
But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's chosen you for salvation. Is this an example of what some people teach, that God has only chosen some individuals to be born again and not others?
No, but can you see how they might go there?
Oh, absolutely. If you're reading it with the assumption that the word salvation always means salvation from hell to heaven, you know, it's hard not to see that in the text.
Of course, you also have another problem if you take that view. He chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Well, question is, what does it mean, sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth? Actually, I think that would even work for the view this was referring to salvation from eternal condemnation, even though that's not what it's talking about.
Right.
Because the word sanctification means set apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so here, it can refer to either past sanctification, which is essentially justification.
Right.
Present sanctification, which is where we're being set apart as we take in the Word of God and God renews our minds and transforms our behavior, or future sanctification, which is glorification. Here it's looking at past sanctification, that God has chosen us, soteria, for deliverance from the tribulation through being set apart by the Spirit. When we believed, we were set apart from the unbelieving world. That's why when you go back to chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, they shall not escape, 1 Thess 5. But you will escape.
So what I hear you saying is, not only do we have to be careful about importing a definition of salvation upon the text, we should also be careful of importing a definition of sanctification.
Absolutely.
Because like sanctification, most people would think of it in terms of, I'm getting morally better. You know,
right.
Being sanctified.
And if you took that, and if you took the salvation here as being born again, then what you're saying is that we are being born again by the Holy Spirit causing us to be holier and holier.
Right.
And then we wouldn't be saved at the moment of faith, but we would be saved at the end of our lives.
Right. You can see how someone could take this as a work salvation type view. You know, and you've
right.
got to keep up that sanctification to be saved. But you're saying you're chosen for this salvation by being set apart.
Right. And also he says belief in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, at the moment we believe the promise of everlasting life, we are not only set apart into God's family, we are not only given everlasting life, but we are also set apart from the world so that when the rapture occurs, we will be taken and not left.
Mm.
There's a whole lot of things that are either true of us at the moment of faith or guaranteed to be true of us in the future.
Right.
And this is one that's guaranteed to be true of us in the future.
Mm.
We will be raptured because the Spirit has set us apart from the unbelieving world and because we have believed the truth.
And do you think this chosen you for salvation, do you think this is... Is this individual, or is it corporate, or is it a little bit of both?
I see this as corporate, and the you would be all of the believers in Thessalonica, but we know, of course, from 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, and 10, that Paul extends this to the us, to the we, that this includes all believers of all time, so that at the time of the rapture, we will be taken. We won't be left.
What was at stake here for the Thessalonians? They were worried about something, and that's why Paul is telling them this.
To
comfort them.
Part of the problem was they were worried that believing loved ones who had died would miss out on the millennium. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. And there evidently was some confusion about the fact that some of them were afraid they'd miss the rapture. So he wants them to understand in 2 Thessalonians that the rapture has not occurred. And then he also wants them to be sure they are the people of God who, as part of being the people of God,
right.
they will not experience this wrath. This is foreign to them.
Right, right.
And so they want them to be confident in the fact they will be delivered. But I should point out, at the end of 2 Thessalonians, there were some in Thessalonica who were not working. They were so committed to the fact the rapture could occur at any day. They stopped working, and they were mooching off other believers.
Okay.
And that's where Paul says, if anyone will not work, let him not eat. What is that? Chapter 3?
It's in verse 10. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean that if you have someone in the local church that's incapable of working, we don't provide benevolence. What it means is if a person is capable of working and they're just sitting around waiting for the rapture, well, we're not going to enable them. Part of the issue here is they need to realize, yes, the rapture's coming soon, but God wants us to be at work every day. And, you know, the kind of the point is if we knew for sure the rapture was going to occur tomorrow, what would we do? We'd live to the glory of God for the next 24 hours. We'd keep planting trees. We'd keep evangelizing. We'd keep loving our families. We'd keep working.
I don't know, but I know. My kids, sayonara, kids. I'm going to go see Jesus. You're on your own for the next 24 hours.
No, they're not.
Okay.
And by the way, children of believers, they go in the rapture as well, even if they're not yet believing, because God is not going to leave children under the age of accountability of believers to go through that wrath. They will be taken, and there are examples like, for example, when Lot leaves Sodom, his daughters get to go with him. When Noah's delivered, his sons and daughters-in-law get to go with him. You know, the same thing when Rahab the harlot is delivered in Jericho. Her whole family is delivered
with
her.
We don't have a whole lot of time, but does that mean children get glorified bodies like everyone else in the rapture?
Or? I don't think so. That's another talk. I think what will happen is they'll go to the millennium, and then they will live out their natural lives. That way, they'll have the opportunity to have children and families, and they will have opportunities to serve Christ and lay up eternal rewards. But not everybody agrees with that. Some people think, they're just going to be glorified and put in adult status. I doubt it. But we've kind of gotten far afield here.
Well, it's all interesting. And if you find this interesting, be sure to check out our previous episodes at our website, faithalone.org. And be sure to read our blogs. We put them out every day. Put out a magazine called Grace and Focus every other month. And all of this, I think, will promote interest in the Word of God because it's so much deeper than what most people realize. Well, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.